And now on Nights with Steve Price, Steve Wardell from the Courier Mail.
Our weekly roundup of politics in Queensland, and there's never a dull moment north of the border. And Steve Wardell joins me. You really know how to do politics in your state. We'll get on to the Ipswich Mayor Paul Pasali in a moment. What a story that is. But One Nation possibly holding the balance of power after a state election with Anastasia Palaszczuk booted from office.
Yeah, it's an interesting poll we had on the weekend, basically showing that things are pretty grim for both major parties. The two-party preferred came out at 51 to 49 in the LNP's favour. But the real story here is the One Nation vote. In regional Queensland, it's somewhere around 20%.
Wow.
In North Queensland, it's around 13, 14%. And you have to think on those kind of figures, One Nation would be able to at least claim a few seats, and given the low primary vote of both major parties, there's a good chance it would hold the balance of power.
What are the numbers now? I mean, it's she's holding power in a minority government with support of independents anyway, isn't she?
Yeah, that's right. Labor has, I think, 42 seats. You need 45 in Queensland to govern in your own right. We're shifting to four extra seats next time around, so we shift up to 93 seats, which means both parties have seats to gain and seats to protect if they're going to stand a chance of governing in their own right. So that makes the calculations even more complex for both sides, because they have to keep the seats that they've got and win some extra ones. So it's a tough environment out there in regional Queensland where both major parties seem to be struggling to appeal to voters if there's such a large proportion prepared to dump up for One Nation.
We're on air up in North Queensland. We get lots of calls, particularly from around Mackay. But tell me about, go further north, Cairns, Townsville. What's made people cranky there? Lack of work, the dithering over the Adani Mine project, the fact that the government seems very much focused on southeast Queensland.
Yeah, look, I think you hit the nail on the head first off. I think it's a lack of work. I think that there's been stubbornly high unemployment up there in Townsville for several years now, particularly Cairns as well. At the end of the mining boom basically came along and the government stopped being able to afford to fund infrastructure. So it hit the wall on two fronts at pretty much the same time. And since then, there's been no real plan about how the state kind of transitions from that post-mining boom economy. I think successive governments have just banked on this continuing, and it hasn't. While we're not as bad a position as West Australia, we have a more diverse economy than that. Really, the economy at the moment in Queensland is being held up by southeast Queensland and the investment going into there. But if you have a look at those national accounts figures that were out yesterday, we've had 11 consecutive quarters of declining business investment. Now, that comes off a huge boom in the LNG industry. But the problem is, when you create those kind of workforces, like we did in the LNG industry, and also there was significant government investment in infrastructure going on at the same time, and suddenly all that's stripped away, then it creates those problems. And I think North Queensland, after several years, has got a bit tired of hearing all the rhetoric coming out of Brisbane and want some answers, because it's they're really not seeing any kind of light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, it's a classic case, isn't it, Steve, of you build an LNG processing plant. It takes a lot of people, a lot of jobs to do that. Once it's built, you just need a few people to turn the tap on and off.
Yeah, that's right. We have this kind of two-speed economy happening in Queensland where, if you look at it, the economy, including exports, we're going very well. We have strong economic growth amongst the leading in the nation in some areas. Yet you look at the domestic economy, like the state final demand figures that were out yesterday, and over the last couple of years, the domestic economy, excluding exports, has shrunk by some $6.5 billion. So that's that workforce that's still looking for a place to plant. And because government never planned post kind of LNG business investment boom, they haven't exactly been able to find where to park that workforce.
The other story of the week, the Courier's been leading the charge on. Charlie Peel wrote about it this week. Paul Pasali, the Ipswich mayor, somehow turns up in Melbourne in a hotel, picks up a parcel from someone in the lobby. I think he thinks I better have a look at what's inside, and phew, surprise, surprise, $50,000.
Look, and then set the scene about the mayor announcing his retirement while in a hospital gown and red jammies with white stars all over them and matching red socks, and you've got all the makings of a great Queensland political story that will be remembered for decades to come. It's quite the extraordinary kind of scenario, because you're talking about probably the most popular politician in Australia. This guy got a primary vote in the mayoral election recently of 83%. Like, so you're not talking about somebody who's unliked in his area. He's huge. But look, he's had a few run-ins with the Crime and Corruption Commission here in Queensland before. You know, he does suffer from MS, so he does have some significant health problems. But there's more parts of this story to come out, because this scenario where he ended up with a bag of cash, $50,000 allegedly of cash, that was supposedly destined for some lawyer with a pretty colourful history in Queensland as well. You just got to think, hang on, there must be more to this.
Yeah, I think we'll leave that to the investigators, but we'll follow it with great interest. It's one of those classic Queensland stories. What's the latest on the power bills?
Well, look, we're in pretty good shape here in Queensland compared to some other states. I see some of the figures coming out at the moment. ACT and their 100% renewables policy, and they're going to be copping the $600 whack a year thanks to that. In Queensland, the figures are about 2%, about 3%. Now, that's only been able to come about because the government has basically made a whole bunch of money on the wholesale energy market. So the only reason why power bills are rising in Queensland is because wholesale energy prices have gone through the roof. That's partly because the state-owned generators have made a mozza with the closure of Hazelwood, and now we're getting some of that money back, courtesy of a subsidy which takes off the solar bonus scheme. That's the scheme that's paying those thousands of households with the 44-cent feed-in tariff on their roof. So the money that comes onto other people's power bills is basically going to be paid by the government rather than the rest of us. So, look, it's a kind of really a robbing Peter to pay Paul kind of scenario, where the government's making all this money on electricity and then paying us a subsidy on something that really shouldn't be on our power bills to start with.
It's very strange, isn't it? I mean, we talked at the beginning of this chat about how unpopular Labor is in North Queensland and One Nation's on the rise. But Anastasia Palaszczuk, you'd have to say, when you watch it much more closely than me, I get a sense that Queenslanders don't mind her.
Yeah, look, she does very well. I don't think I've seen a political leader who can engage with a crowd, with people one-on-one, as good as Anastasia Palaszczuk. She actually really...
Better than Peter Beattie?
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing about it is Anastasia's real.
Yeah.
You know, Peter's a great bloke, but we all knew that there was a certain masquerading going on there. Like, he was great in his own way, but Anastasia is unique and she's authentic. And I think, punters are smart. They get that. You know, they get when someone's real. And I think what she what actually works in her favour is no one's had any great expectations her government will be able to achieve much, because no one expected them to be there to start with. So you ask people and they say, well, we just want to give her a chance. Give her a chance. You know, she hasn't been there very long. Yeah, they haven't done too much, but we never expected them to do too much, so that's kind of okay. They don't seem to be causing us more problems than we had already. And that seems to be the kind of general vibe around the place, a lot about her. Mind you, it's not helping them in North Queensland like we spoke about.
Yeah, very Queensland way to look at it. Thank you very much, mate. Have a fabulous weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Good on you, mate.
Stephen Wardill from the Courier Mail.